I gotta let this one ride out, y'all. You can walk all alone. You gotta put your Stacey Adams on for this one, y'all. Come on. Just let your body move. I gotta let it ride out. Hey!
Everybody walk your body.
What y'all know about that? What do y'all know about the time and the walk? I had to go there. Welcome to the Mac Lessons Radio Show, everybody. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to be of service to you. We're going to chop up some very good game today. Today's show is brought to you by TariqElite.com. That's where you can get sunglasses and cologne because summertime is right around the corner. So it's time to get your smell good on. It's time to get your eyewear on deck. And today's show is brought to you by ThomasLogisticsLLC.com. All my people out there in the Arizona area, if you need moving services, all your moving needs, you need to go to ThomasLogisticsLLC.com. And today's show is also brought to you by HeadhuntersGear.com. Summertime is coming, so you need to get your gear on deck, HeadhuntersGear.com. And today's show is brought to you by The Players Retreat. That is my lecture that I'm doing. You'll join me live in Miami, August 6, 2011, at the Miami-Dade County Auditorium. Players Retreat, we're going to have it on and popping down there in Miami. You guys can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com and type in Tariq Nasheed and get your tickets for the Miami lecture. Fly on down. We're going to have a ball on August 6. And today's show is brought to you by the Hidden Colors DVD. Go to Hidden Colors film.com to get the Hidden Colors DVD and step your game up. Now let me put on some Mac and music so we can chop up some good game on today's show. Now today's show is going to be a deep show, everybody, so I want everybody to just sit down and just get real comfortable because we're going to get real deep on today's show. Today's show is going to be a very deep one. On today's show, I want everybody to put on their thinking caps because we're going to chop up some deep game, and I'm going to talk to my African and African-American folks in particular, because this is really for you. Real deep show. You might want to get your pad and your pens and take down notes, because it's going to be a deep one for my African-Americans and my Africans and all my people, because I'm speaking specifically to you right now. Now, you know, we're trying to get funding for the brand new film, The School. That's a new film that we're working on. And we should have gotten the funding already. I've been talking about this on my Ustream page, how we should have gotten the funding already. And this is what I'm saying. This is tying into the whole theme of the show, because we're talking about the white daddy syndrome that a lot of black people have. And this ties into that. Like I said, we're trying to get the funding for the new film because Hidden Colors was a success. And the thing is, like I said on last week's show, a lot of black folks, we can do one thing that's successful and then something on a subconscious level causes us to stop. We stop because we don't want to continue to do something progressive that's too successful. It's a subconscious thing. So right now, we're still trying to get all the funding for the brand new film, and I'm very shocked that we haven't gotten it all yet. And I've been talking to a few cats, and a lot of people are coming up with excuses on why they can and why they won't. And there's really no excuse, because we talk about all the images of us that are being shown and what we need to do about it. And I discussed this last week. But when it comes time to actually do something about it, a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, all the time, black folks pretty much stop in their tracks. It's something on a subconscious level that's stopping blacks as a whole. Like, the Kickstarter page is what I've been promoting for a while, and that's where people can go to make donations to the new film. You can go to Kickstarter.com. Type in The School, and you can make donations there. And there are thousands of other projects that get funded this way. There are projects run by white folks and Latinos and Asians that get funded overnight with this website. But with black projects, one or two may get funded, but on a regular basis, we don't do that. because this is a way to create an independent industry. So I've been thinking, what's going on in the subconscious mind of black folks while we won't put together a project like this, even though it's been made very easy? Because we have a lot of excuses why we don't have distribution outlets, why we don't have movies that we control, why we don't have record labels or record distribution outlets that we control, or media outlets that we control. And we can blame racism, and we can blame the lack of funds. But the thing is, when it's in an easy parameter as this, where everybody can donate a little money, like $25, $30, and something stops black folks from doing that, and they really don't have a legitimate excuse to why they're doing it, we have to look into the deepness of that. I'm all about getting into the psyche of a collective, because I've been, you know, I like to chop up game with Dr. Frances Gress Welsing, and she's so deep, and listening to her, that makes me think deep. So what's going on in the subconscious collective of black folks that stops them from supporting or even creating independent projects where we're not dependent on other people? Because that's the whole purpose of me getting this thing going on, the school. Hidden Colors was a success. It was a success, and it was a very fast success. We put it together very quickly, and we got it out there, and it was a success in spite of all the odds. And I wanted to keep that momentum going. But again, like I said on last week's show, a lot of black folks, they'll start pausing when it comes to doing something on an independent level consecutively. So what's going on with that? We need to get into that. Why do we do that? Why do you drive through black neighborhoods and don't see too many successful black businesses, if you see a black business at all? What's the psyche behind that? I was at the swap meet a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about this on Ustream. In Los Angeles, we have something called the Slauson Swap Meet. It's like in some cities they call them flea markets. The swap meet is like an indoor shopping place. It's a bunch of different booths where people sell clothes, shoes, jewelry. They sell a whole bunch of different stuff. And it's people who they've talked about the Slauson Swap Meet and rap records. And I went down to the Slauson Swap Meet because, you know, I had a cold last week and I was getting some of my licorice sticks from the African guys. There are a few African cats out there who sell these sticks, these roots that I like to chew on for, you know, to clear my throat. So I'm down there and I'm observing things. I went to my main African cat. He didn't have the roots that I like. He ran out, so he directed me to another guy further on down the hall in the swap meet that may have some. I went to the other guy who was another African. He didn't have any, but he directed me to another guy who happened to be an African who did have the roots that I like. So while I was there walking around to these different booths, I made an observation. Now this was it was like a Friday, and the Slauson Swap Meet is right smack dab in the middle of South Central Los Angeles. It's right in the middle, the heart of South Central. Nothing but black customers, packed with black folks, 100% black customers. That's the only people who shop there are black folks. You may see a Mexican cat every blue moon shopping there, but for the most part, nothing but black folks, packed with black folks buying any and everything. At the swap meet, at the Slauson Swap Meet, there are only three black businesses there. Out of all the booths, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of booths at the swap meet. There's only three black owned ones. Those three are owned by Africans. So basically, there are no African-American shops at the swap meet. Every last one of them are owned by Asians or Latinos. And to put icing on the cake, all the Asian shops, they have zero black people working for them. Not one. All the Asian clothes shops and the jewelry shops and the shoe shops, every single one of them have either other Asians or Latino people working for them. So you have all these non-black people, except the three African shops, right in the heart of a black community with 100% black customers, getting 100% of the black money, and the black folks ain't owning a goddamn thing. And I'm looking at this, and it defies logic, because I'm thinking to myself, if I live down here, and I used to live in South Central a long time ago, but I live way out in the suburbs now. And if I lived out here, if this is what I'm thinking, I would just get a booth. A booth at a swap meet is no more than $500 a month. In some cities, you can get a booth at a swap meet for like $70, $80 a month. And get some wholesale clothes and resell them, just like everybody else is doing. I'm like, what the hell is stopping cats from doing that? How come so many people are here spending money and no brothers or American brothers then got themselves a booth? You can put that $500 down and open up a barbershop at the swap meet, cut hair, make your money back 10 times over in one day. You can open up a tattoo shop. Black folks have so many skills. All you have to do is just set up shop somewhere and display your skills and make money off your skills. And it, as simple as that sounds, out here smack dab in South Central Los Angeles, nobody is doing that. There are brothers out here who know how to do tattoos. Spend $500 to open up a booth and do tattoos, or open up a booth and hire a dude who knows how to do tattoos. This stuff is not rocket science. And even if you don't have skills, hell, if you are a cat who can draw, open up a t-shirt shop where you draw shit on t-shirts, something. But even if you don't have skills, you can just wholesale shit. Go wholesale some rims and then resell them and make you a profit. There's so many things to do, but cats won't do it. And you have to look into the psyche of that. How come black folks aren't doing simple shit when it comes to being independent? When it comes to thinking independent and not being dependent on a system outside of the black community, what is it on a subconscious level that's stopping black folks? Black Americans. And when I'm saying black folks, I mean black Americans, because Africans, they don't have that mentality. Africans come over here and they get to handling business because they don't have the same psyche that black people in America have. So what's going on with black folks? And this is all around the country. You rarely see too many black businesses. You rarely see black businesses when it's so easy to do it. And when I was talking about this on Ustream, somebody was like, well, man, they won't let you open up a booth at the swap meet. That's bullshit. That's total bullshit. If you have the money, the deposit or whatever, money talks. They'll let you open up a business any damn where. That's a bunch of bullshit. It's an excuse. And a lot of times black people like to depend on the racism excuse. But racism is not holding nobody back as far as starting their own business. So we can get off that. Racism is not holding anybody back. So what the hell is it? What's stopping cats from opening up businesses? What's stopping cats from forming distribution outlets on an independent level? What's wrong with black folks stopping themselves from supporting film projects that are independent of the mainstream system? What's that? And we have to come to the conclusion, because we can say a whole bunch of shit, but at the end of the day, do you know what it is? And I want my black folks to really listen up, because this is something we never talk about. You know what it is, black folks, why we stop at a dime, or black folks as a whole, as a collective, not all, I'm not talking about my conscious people, but the black collective, we stop at a dime when it comes to being self-sufficient. Black folks do it because deep down on a subconscious level, black folks love being dependent on white folks. I just had to go ahead and say it. We know it on a certain level. A lot of black folks won't admit this. But the harsh reality that we need to come to terms with, many black people love the idea of being dependent on whites. I want that to sink in. And you tell me if I'm telling a lie right here on the Mac Lessons Radio Show. Everything that the black collective does in this country is based on slavery. Most of the behavior, most of our social patterns were learned during slavery. And I've talked about this before. Most of the stuff that we do comes directly from slavery. And according to our sister Shahrazad Ali, she said, we have never been debriefed from slavery. And that's so absolutely true. Black people have never been debriefed, and we carry a lot of baggage left over from slavery. Every motivation we do is seeped in slavery. Our voice inflections to a certain degree, the names we have, the food we eat, the religions we practice, our sexual patterns. You know what I'm saying? And I talked about this before. When you have a bunch of women having babies by a bunch of different dudes, that's from slavery. When you have a bunch of niggas banging broads, knocking them up and then bouncing, that's a slave characteristic. All of that stuff is really indicative of African-American people as a whole, where it's accepted. Other people do shit like that too, but where it's accepted, there's no negative stigma attached to it within the community. That's with us. And the thing is, man, also in slavery, the most envied slave was a slave with a white father. In slavery, the most envied slave was a slave who had a white father. A slave who had a white father had certain privileges other slaves didn't have. A slave with a white father, he had more access to education. He had more access to better foods. He had more access to better clothes, better dressing patterns. He had access to travel. He was more learned. He had access to learning different languages. So there were more privileges given out to a slave or to a black person who had a white father. And in many cases, a lot of black slaves who had white fathers were set free, or they were given property. So they were giving a leg up socially within the black community. So it was a revered thing in the black community during slavery to have a white father. That was a prized thing. A lot of black folks had a subconscious desire to have a white father during slavery. And this is why so many slaves were so loyal to the white male power structure. This is why a lot of rebellions didn't work. Whenever people tried to rebel, it would always get fucked up. Some slave would tell and mess it up and sabotage it, because the slaves would be like, hey man, let's go free ourselves. Let's be independent. Let's not be dependent on the master. Let's go do our own thing. And all it took was one slave to be like, well, shit, what's wrong with what we have now? Be independent. We got it made. White daddy takes care of us. Why be free? I'm about to go snitch. And this is why a lot of slave rebellions didn't work, because too many other slaves were too loyal to white daddy. And black folks have that same mentality today. A lot of black folks, it's in the black DNA now, a lot of black folks want a white daddy. That's a harsh reality. That's a hard pill to swallow. But y'all know what I'm saying is true. Let's just tell the truth and shame the devil. Black folks have white daddy syndrome. Black folks want a white daddy so bad. That's why so many black folks, when you start talking independence, they kind of look at you sideways to a certain degree. That's why a lot of people criticize the Nation of Islam, and people were critical of Marcus Garvey and all these people who talked about self-sufficiency. These people are almost looked at as being demonized in the black community, because black folks don't want them to ruffle the feathers. They don't want them to rock the boat. But the thing is, I'm motivated by independence. I can do business, and it's fine to do business. I'm motivated by independence. Conscious-minded black folks are motivated by independence, but the average black person, they're motivated by acceptance. A lot of black folks want to be accepted by the proverbial white daddy. They want to be accepted. Damn independence. When you talk independence, that turns them off. They want white daddy to accept him. That's why black people feel so good when they get certain job positions. And they love bragging about being the first at a certain job. I was the first black at my firm. I was the first black at the country club. I was the first black in that fraternity. A lot of black folks in America get off on that. And you know it's true. We're not talking about all, but the majority of us, we have that mentality in America. And that keeps black people as some secondary citizens all day. Black folks wanting white daddy to pat him on the head and say, good boy, good job, good boy. That's what black folks want. They want a pat on the head from white daddy. And again, we can't blame racism. White folks are not to blame for us not getting our shit together, for us to not be independent. White people are not to blame for that. We can sit up and say, well, we've been held back, and white folks aren't stopping you from picking up a book and educating yourself and learning some game. White folks are not stopping you from pooling your resources together with other black folks, starting your own thing. White folks aren't stopping you from getting your own business popping off. They're not to blame. A lot of black folks do use that racism shit as a crutch. And again, I'm the first one to point out anything racist coming from anywhere, because I don't let it slide. People, if they do something racist, they should definitely be checked. But a lot of brothers out here, you'll blame racism on things that you have the power to control. Nobody's stopping you from doing certain things. Nobody stopped us from doing Hidden Colors for years. And certain people are shocked that a movie like Hidden Colors has never been done. While a lot of the major so-called black Hollywood people never done a movie like that, Hidden Colors. It had to be done on a grassroots level. Nobody was stopping us from doing that. That's why it was so easy. It was a lot of hard work, but we did it very quickly. We just pooled our shit together and we did it, and we got it knocked out, and it was a great project and it was a great success. But as you notice about Hidden Colors, man, what's funny about that, you guys notice no mainstream black media gave us any publicity with Hidden Colors. With Hidden Colors, we got no mainstream press, no TV, no radio, no black magazines, nothing. And the movie was still selling out all across the country on a grassroots level. Why do you think Hidden Colors didn't get any love from the black press? And people are saying that this is one of the best documentaries ever, addressing black issues, but the black so-called press didn't touch it. You know why they didn't touch it? Because the film was really about, it was the epitome of black independence, black self-sufficiency. And the black media is the total opposite of self-sufficiency. The black media is totally dependent on the system. That's their bread and butter. So the last thing they're going to do is promote a film that goes against what they're doing. This is why we get inundated with coonish images all day and all night from the so-called mainstream black media. Because their goal is to not help you become independent. It's to cater to your desire to want to be dependent. And again, like I said, black folks want to be dependent on the white power structure because it's the white daddy subconscious issues that black folks have. It's the white daddy fetish. You want to worship a white daddy. You want to cater to a white daddy. That's why black folks up in church all the time. Church, you get to praise white daddy. Jesus represents white daddy. I hate to ruffle the feathers of Christians out there, but that's what it is. Jesus represents white daddy. And to take it even deeper, a lot of cats like going to jail. Because jail is a fucked up place. But when you think about it, man, we all have friends, homies who go to jail almost every other month. Certain dudes act like they like jail. And on a subconscious level, they want to go to jail. Jail represents white daddy. Because when you're in jail, you don't have any responsibilities. White daddy will feed you, clothe you. You get free haircuts. You get free bedding. That's better than nothing. That's better than being homeless. Jail represents white daddy. In a perverse sense, you get taken care of in jail. Even though it's a horrific place, some dudes are used to it. It's almost like a vacation to some dudes. We know niggas like that. Let's keep it 100. But yeah, there's some people who hate jail, but there's some cats out there who commit crime. It seems like they want to go to jail with some of the dumb shit they do. On a subconscious level, they want to be around white daddy. They want to be taken care of by white daddy. But again, a lot of black American men and women, men in particular, you know, I'm getting on the dudes, but women too, have that white daddy syndrome complex. This is why so many black Americans are always trying to claim some type of European ancestry. Right? How many times have you saw a person jet black as hell talking about they mixed with Norwegian? Every time you talk to a black person these days, they're talking about they Portuguese. They're talking about they got a daddy who's half Dutch. They're mixed with German. That's a subconscious desire for white daddy. It's a slave characteristic that we have to charge to the game. This is also, let's go even deeper with it, that white daddy syndrome. This is why a lot of black men want to go to the NFL and the NBA. A lot of brothers want to go to the NFL and the NBA because that represents white daddy. You get a white daddy. White daddy takes care of you. The white team owners is your daddy. And they act like their dad. And it looks like a slave auction. When you go to the draft picks or when you look at the draft picks, it looks like a slave auction. And I'm not trying to shit on my brothers out there because there's nothing wrong with being an athlete. But just look at it for, let's just step back and look at it. They get these brothers suited and booted. Then a white man walks them out and like, hey, which one of y'all want my boy right here? It's like a slave auction. And really, to be a ball player, you don't really have to have too much responsibility. All you have to do is run, jump, kick, putt, bang women, and get a check from daddy. You get taken care of for the next 5 or 10 years, however long you play. That's a nigga's dream. They're dependent on white daddy. And this is why when a lot of professional black athletes retire, they filed bankruptcy about 5 years after they retire. There was an article that came out not too long ago talking about how many athletes on average ended up filing bankruptcy when they're done playing. That's sick. They filed bankruptcy because white daddy is not taking care of them no more. And these dudes didn't learn any kind of responsible financial skills. White daddy ain't taking care of them no more. Then they fall off when white daddy is gone. See, the thing is, the whole white daddy syndrome, it's a slave thing where you don't have to be responsible. Somebody gets to take care of you. Because to be independent, that's a lot of responsibility. This is why when black folks talk about being independent, talking about getting something popping, talking about raising money for an independent project, black folks start, because if it's successful, that's going to start taking people away from white daddy. You might lose favor from white daddy, and you might have to be a responsible person yourself when you see all these other black folks being responsible. But the thing is, so many black folks are comfortable being taken care of by white daddy. There was a baseball owner back in the 90s. Some of y'all might remember a lady named Marge Schott. I think she owned the Red Sox or something like that, but she was a real racist team owner. She would even refer to her team players as her million-dollar niggas. She was running her baseball team like a plantation. Y'all look that up. Look up Marge Schott. Very controversial lady back in the 90s. She literally, I'm not making this up, she said her players were her million-dollar niggas. And niggas was still playing for this crazy-ass woman. White mama and white daddy. So this is why a lot of white folks can get away with saying slick stuff and black folks don't even get mad. Black folks will forgive them. You know, when Dog the Bounty Hunter was talking nigga this and nigga that. Oh, black folks were so forgiving of white daddy. You know, when John Mayer, when he said his little slick remarks, black folks were so forgiving of white daddy. When Charlie Sheen started his little nigga meltdown, white people and black people were so forgiving of Charlie Sheen, white daddy. They get away with murder. They say whatever, and black people are right there to forgive them. It's that white daddy complex. You can't get mad at white daddy too long. Black folks are so forgiving to white daddy. This is why movies like The Blind Side are so popular. Now, y'all know me. I talk about The Blind Side all the time. I've been yelling and screaming about The Blind Side for a couple of years now, about how negative the movie is and how we need to have alternatives to that. But when you stop and think about it, a lot of black people love that movie, The Blind Side. Excuse me, let's keep it 100. A lot of black people like that movie, The Blind Side. They love that movie. Even though it was a very negative movie, that movie was successful with whites and blacks. It was successful with whites because it made whites feel superior. because all the black folks were on crack and ghetto and everything, and the white folks got to be saviors. Black folks loved that movie because it catered to their fantasy of being saved by white folks. Black people have that fantasy to this day. A white family is going to come and save them out the ghetto. That's a deep fantasy black folks have. That's why so many movies have that theme. Like A Dangerous Mind. It just, I can just go all the way down the list of white families saving black folks. Even when CNN, when they were interviewing me, we were talking about the whole Sandra Bullock thing when she got divorced from her husband and she went and adopted a black baby. And I had some criticism for that, and CNN interviewed me. The people at CNN, they were saying how much black people love Sandra Bullock. They did a poll and black people just love Sandra Bullock. Yeah, they love Sandra Bullock, man. Because Sandra Bullock adopted that baby, that she had adopted a black baby named Lewis. And on a subconscious level, a lot of black people like her because they wish they were that baby. And I've actually heard black people say shit like, well, damn, I wish Sandra Bullock would adopt me. Whenever you see an African baby or a black baby get adopted by a real rich white person, I've heard black people say this on a number of occasions. Man, I wish Madonna would adopt me. I wish Tom Cruise would adopt me. That's that slave white daddy worship, that white daddy desire. That comes directly from slavery, wishing a white person would adopt you and take care of you like a baby. That's some real sick shit that we have not gotten over. That's the number one reason why we won't get it together on an independent level, because black folks like being taken care of by whites. That's why we have so many hood rats on the county. That's why we have so many hood rats out here getting these checks. It's the shit. You got a white daddy taking care of you and you get to smoke weed and fuck dusty niggas all day. And white daddy will make it all right. And also, that's why TV shows like Webster and Different Strokes were so popular. These shows were popular because they catered to a desire that a lot of whites liked and a lot of blacks had. A lot of whites liked the idea of owning some little black folks that they can control. You can control your niggers, and it makes you feel superior. And black folks like Different Strokes, and that was a very popular show when it was out. With all audiences, because again, it catered to a desire that a lot of people had in the black community, which was a white family, a white man is going to come and adopt you and take care of you and lavish you with gifts, and you can just be loyal. You're just like a pet nigga. Y'all go back to the show I did about pet niggas. A lot of black folks have that pet nigga fantasy, that white daddy worship fantasy. And you know you do. I mean, a lot of black folks are not going to admit this. That's the thing. Black folks won't admit it on a conscious level. But the thing is, it's a subconscious thing. It's a subconscious motivation. That's why a lot of black folks don't want to say anything to offend white folks, because in the back of their mind, the white folks are going to proverbially adopt them, take them in and lavish them with gifts. That's why white folks, you get the grinning and shucking and jiving when you go into a meeting with white folks, because you want them to bring you in and give you goodies and gifts and lavish you. And this is why you don't want to participate in anything that's going to show black independence, some black self-reliance. Anything about black self-reliance turns you the hell off. That's one of the reasons why we haven't gotten all the funding for this film, whereas all those other films and projects on Kickstarter, they get funded fully overnight, and we have brothers out here who are stopping at a dime trying to come up with excuses why we can't get an independent film project going on and a network going on so other black folks can have the same kind of funding source where we can get shit done and not depend on others. It's easier to sit up and wait on white daddy to do it. That's all it is. Niggas are waiting on white daddy. And you know who you are. If you're offended, that means it's you. All you people who are offended by what I say, let me ask you this. When you go into a meeting, when you get around white folks, do you hear this in your mind right here? Do you hear this in the back of your head? Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. When you get around white folks, is that the theme song that plays in your head? You want the white daddy to come save you and give you some bunk beds with your brother? that's exactly what goes through your mind. You want that white daddy to take care of you. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. Glad everybody tuned in. We had a nice deep talk today. Don't forget, everybody, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com where you can get the Hidden Colors DVD. Go to the Kickstarter page. And if you don't have white daddy desire, if you want to be down with an independent film project and help create an independent film network where we are self-reliant on each other, feel free to donate. If you got some shit going on in your mind, you don't have to fuck with it. This is for my conscious people out here. And also, like I said on Ustream, I'm going to have a pay-per-view special for all the people who donate. I'm going to show a pay-per-view special on Ustream this Thursday for all the people who donate to the school film. So what I'm going to do, I'll email everybody a certain password where they can get into the Ustream page, and only people with the password can get in and watch the pay-per-view special on Ustream. Because last time I tried to send people links and that became a real big headache. So we're just going to have one showing on Ustream, a pay-per-view special for all the people who donate. So we'll get that together. Hit me up at info@tariqelite.com if you have any questions. Hey, much peace, much love, much respect, everybody. Holla at you. Peace.